You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
tell people
who you're gonna turn to next.
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah, get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is?
What's with your life?
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in. I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it will get done. Because you will get it done. That's right. You're going to get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, and any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you see podcast programs. Click on that to drop down, and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there you'll see programs that are dated and titled. A lot of content. Thank you, my good brother Kwaku. A lot of content. And other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program is, once again, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all Eastern times. I'm going to give Eastern times. Tomorrow, Thursday, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Mississippi on the Move from 8 to 10 on Thursdays. Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Also, too, a shortcut you can use to get to the programs, to my programs, is put in whatever the search engine that you use. Put in babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net. And once you do that, then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Yeah. Today is 9/11. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But on an unfortunate note, I'm really happy that I had the opportunity with my dear friend to go to Frankie Beverly back in April for my birthday. Frankie Beverly passed. He was born December 6th in 1946, and he died yesterday at the age of 77. Frankie Beverly. He was born Howard Beverly, was a singer, songwriter, and producer known primarily for his recordings with the soul and funk band Maze. Frankie founded Maze, originally called Raw Soul, in his hometown of Philadelphia in 1970. After relocating to San Francisco, an introduction to Marvin Gaye, Maze went on to release 9 gold albums and create large and devoted following
I'll say, a very large and devoted following. Frankie Beverly is the band's writer, producer, and lead singer. He is known for his distinctive, smooth baritone voice and charismatic stage presence, no doubt. Yeah, Philadelphia. Beverly was born in Philadelphia and started out singing. Of course, he always sing gospel, right? We always do that. As a schoolboy in a local church, he was raised in East Germantown section of the city and was a graduate of the now-defunct Germantown High School. As a teenager, he formed the Blenders, a short-lived a cappella doo-wop group that was influenced by the Delves, the Moonglows, and the Del Vikings. After that outfit dissolved, he formed the Butlers, subsequently Frankie Beverly and the Butlers, which would be the first group he recorded with in 1963. And in 1967, he cut If That's What You Wanted, which became a Northern Soul standard. As time passed, they caught the attention of the record producer Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, Gamble and Huff, who eventually released recordings by the group. It turned out the music performed by the Butlers did not fit into the Philly sound. And after some heavy touring, the group relocated to California. The unit was rechristened as Raw Soul and caught the attention of sister-in-law to Marvin Gaye. Gaye featured them as an opening act at some of his shows and also convinced Beverly to change the band's name to Maze. The group's popularity was enhanced considerably by the UK by DJs Greg Edwards and Robin Benson in the late 70s and early 80s. When they performed live in London for broadcast at Capitol Records, they were best known there for their UK 57 single, Joy and Pain, Sunshine and Rain. In 2019, Frankie Beverly hit single with Maze, Before I Let Go, was covered by American singer Beyonce as a bonus track on her fifth live album, Homecoming, the live album. Beverly told Billboard that the cover was one of the high points of his life, in a class of its own, and made him feel bigger than ever. I feel like I've had a huge smashed out thing. Yeah, Beverly, Frankie Beverly. Doesn't say why he passed, but I tell you, let me read this last little piece here. Beverly's onstage attire, always white, designed and made, casual clothing, including slacks, long sleeve shirt, and a baseball cap, has become his signature dress style over the years. It has become traditional for the audience to all wear white into the concerts in honor of the group. His son, Anthony, who has toured as a drummer with Maze, along with his former wife, entertainment attorney Heather Beverly, organized a tribute album to Anthony's father called Silky Soul Music, an all-star tribute to Maze featuring Frankie Beverly in 2009, together founding the record label as in homage to his work of Maze. Mary J. Blige, Kenneth Bryan Edmonds, Babyface, and Mint Condition were among the artists taking part on the album. Right on. Frankie Beverly and Maze. Man. So if you had a chance to catch them, I know they, once again, they did their piece at Essence. The Essence Music Festival in New Orleans, and many other things that he was always connected with. I remember when we brought him to our festival in Milwaukee, African World Festival. I was president then. That's a big thing for me, having to talk with Frankie Beverly and meet him backstage and so forth. But wow, Frankie Beverly and Maze, family. So we'll play that at our break. I'm going to mention Baba Baruti and Mama Ya. They have this Saturday, Common Sense Security workshop this Saturday. And it's from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Individuals, $15. Family, $25. Yeah. Common Sense Security. Make your donations, of course, to PayPal, Yabarudi at Yahoo, or Cash App, $ YaMBarudi. Include your pertinent information, Common Sense Security, your name, and your email address where they can send the link. Yeah. African Warriors Day, Saturday, the following Saturday, September 21st. Online only, African Warriors Day from 4 to 7. African Warriors Day. The way to register is always the same. And, of course, they'll send you the link so you can participate in African Warriors Day. Akhavan Institute's annual fundraising statement. Brothers and sisters, October is a big fundraising day and time for Akhavan Institute. This is how Brother Barudi gets. He seeks no funds outside of what we do. So if you're going to give to PayPal for Baba Barudi, it's PayPal to YaBarudi at Yahoo.com. Or if you want to send to Cash App, $YaMBarudi. To help educate African people is the work we have chosen to do. And to the best of our ability, we have applied our time, energy, and resources to this promise for the last 23 academic school years at Akhavan Institute, as we strive to be a model of what it means to truly be an African-centered educational institution. Our goal is to consistently and uncompromisingly assist in moving our people toward sovereignty. Without question, we have not yet been alone, so we recognize and humbly give thanks for the generous support of our community throughout these challenging years. As we remain committed to this nation-building work, we ask that you assist in strengthening and sustaining Akhavan through our continued financial support, especially during October, our newly chosen annual fundraising drive month. Madasi P. Madupe. Asante Sana. Thank you. Abibi Fahodiye. Abibi Fahodiye. That's right. Mwali Mu and Ya Barudi. We thank them. Please, brothers and sisters, support them. Okay. Save the date, sexual healing, November 3rd, 2024. Kibuka, November 16th. Kibuka, November 16th. That's right. We'll talk more about Kibuka. And there's a healing event January 25th, 2025. African men and women releasing our pain and healing together, led by Mwali Mu and YaBarudi. Saturday, January 25th, 2025, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. House of Ogun, 4720 Bryce Drive, Union City, Georgia. Yes. Okay. And so we'll keep that as a constant reminder. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Oh, man, I tell you. Deep. You know, before I read the Inyasa Sim, I just want to say that I've done a 9/11 program around this time, either on the date or as close to the date as possible over the years. And still, it still bothers me. But I know that the United States and Western society cannot allow those of us who look at this, and there are many, but the voices are really silent, and they try to do that continuously. So even though we'll say what we're going to say, yeah, I hear you. We're going to do it anyway, ain't we, family? You know it. Because 9/11 is an inside job, no doubt about it. September 10th, Choose your battles and fight to win the war. Salah Dimali. Never see your battles as obstacles. See them as challenges, each one to be deliberately engaged, mastered, and learned from in preparation for the next, even more difficult, strengthening adversity. As they say, you would never be sent problems that you could not handle and would not grow through managing. Nonetheless, we must be particularly in deciding which problems to handle when we are presented with many different ones, especially when they are continuous, intentional, and prevent us from seeing or doing our work. Running around trying to put out fires designed to keep us busy and away from the duties and responsibilities obviously works towards our disadvantage. Study the patterns. Study your responses. Equally important, never enter a fight you cannot win. Let me repeat, never enter a fight you cannot win. In one way or another, win. Remember that the lessons that should come from both success and failure should reveal to us our power. They should serve to confirm that nothing within the human possibilities is beyond our ability. They should help us to understand that each one of us has the power to decide reality. Within us lies the ability to make our personal space and this world into whatever it is needed to make them African. Being employees, our minds will find a way for us to do whatever they are instructed that we desire. There is nothing on this planet which can keep us from creating what we need to be African except us. Absolutely nothing. So the only possible reason for us not being African is because we have chosen not to be so. Brothers and sisters, we are African. We are African. I carefully choose my battles and carefully fight to win and carelessly fight to win. I carefully choose my battles and fight to win. 9/11, September 11th. For some Africans, dire times are not to be accepted or bowed to. Rather, such difficult seasons are to be challenged and infiltrated in profound hope and indomitable determination. Cecil County Gray. The truth of the matter is that after all the mental, physical, and spiritual damage that Urugu has done to us, they cannot understand why our threat is still real. They are incapable of grasping why their assault has not completely obliterated our self-awareness, why we refuse to become or stay broken pieces of an organic whole, why it is beyond us to just quit, die as their shadows. We refuse to do so because we know that we cannot become what they need us to be, to secretly live their lives without losing everything about ourselves. We know that choosing to submit to the soul-murdering vanquishment, menticide, ultimately would submerge us in the depths of a frightening disquiet, in a surreality of invisibility, a spiritual, cultural, and personal ambiguity, a misled self-awareness, a becoming a one with insanity while still awake. This is not living, and surely something we should never tolerate. We also know both that Urugu can never defeat a people who know who they are, and that they can never defeat an enemy that knows what they are. Most importantly, we know that there is no hell worse than an endless violation by psychopathic, sadistic terrorists who cannot live without blood sacrifices from their captives. And this living death we refuse to pass on to those yet to come. We got to fight this battle. Affirm, I see difficulty as a challenge and meet it. Affirm, I see difficulty as a challenge and meet it. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Brothers and sisters, this is, once again, the annual 9/11. You know, I had 9/11, false flag. I had 9/11. Who you gonna believe, me or your lying eyes? Last few years, I had 9/11 inside job. Because, brothers and sisters, it truly is. It truly is. If you believe the government and what the government has said, fine. That's your right to do so, as the saying goes. But not to look at this situation and to see how it has developed. I'm telling you, it's just, you know. Yeah. And to believe that all these Saudi Arabians were going to flight schools here in this country, I guess. I don't know. I don't know the details of some of this. I'm just surmising on this particular piece. But these Saudi Arabians, these Saudis, were going to flight school. And they finally got. Now, listen, you and I both know. They don't teach you how to fly passenger jets. They teach you how to fly Cessnas and twin engines and so forth. They don't teach you how to fly. You don't go to flight school, you know, and then go to Southwest, Delta, United, American. There's additional training to get a chance to fly those planes. In fact, I bet you some of them come right out of the U.S. United States Air Force. So, you know, I don't believe it. This government has lied. It continues to lie. Urugu is a liar. And this is his. So you know he's going to lie to maintain it and to cover up if there's something that they want to deal with or take. Larry Silverstein, and I don't know if it was last year or year before, I did an in-depth piece on him. Because he is a pivotal and key. Larry Silverstein as a developer. Let me go to him again a little bit just to talk. Yeah. Larry Silverstein, he's still living. Born in 1931. He's 93 years old. Yeah. He's born in New York City. Lives in New York City. He's a developer. You know, Silverstein Properties. Among his real estate projects, he has developer of the rebuilt World Trade Center complex in Lower Manhattan, as well as one of New York's tallest residential towers at 30 Park Place, where he has his home. Silverstein was born in Brooklyn and became involved in real estate together with his father, obviously, establishing Silverstein Properties. Silverstein separated from his business partner, in 77 and bought a number of large office buildings in Midtown and Lower Manhattan. In 1980, he won a bid from the Port Authority of New York and Jersey to construct building number 7 World Trade Center. And so I highlighted that because it is building number 7, which is very problematic. Very problematic, family. Let me play this piece and see if this is a good piece on that. Very problematic.
It's been a point. Controversy now for more than a decade. A researcher now from the University of Alaska Fairbanks is weighing in.
My name is Leroy Halsey. That's my middle name, and I'm a structural engineering professor here at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
He led a four-year study which reevaluates whether Building 7's collapse could have been caused by fire.
Building 7 of the World Trade Center came down. It was never hit by an airplane.
It fell because thermal expansion caused a fire-induced progressive collapse.
And we'd never experienced, prior to that day, a steel-framed building collapsing due to fire. It just didn't happen.
Was there a possibility it could lead up to failure through these fundamentals that NIST looked at and said they could, I looked at and said they could?
The way they modeled it was somewhat pushing the limit, putting it mildly.
NIST said it was a fire problem, but yet I did not see any change to our codes.
I mean, I think the work that we're doing is ultimately going to make a difference. I have that confidence because I know the truth always comes out.
If there's a problem with the collapse of Building 7, there's a problem with 9/11.
If there's a problem with Building Number 7, there's a problem with 9/11. No doubt. No doubt. I remember watching Ed Asner early on, you know, and the formation of Richard Gage, Architects for 9/11 Truth. Architects for 9/11 Truth. You know. Yeah. I tell you, you know, I often said I'll give you what I'll give you. So there's two things that I won't give you. I'll give you that on September 11th in that morning, that a plane was hijacked by Saudis who were trained in flight school here. And one of the planes was flown right into the World Trade Center. A friend of mine, she called me up. I was on my way to jury duty. On my way to jury duty, just getting out of the shower, drying off. When she called and I turned the television on and there was, and I'm saying to myself, wow, that maybe there was a big explosion or fire on one of the floors, you know. I don't know, nothing was said at the time. But as I'm watching, the second plane hit. I'm catatonic. I'm like so stunned, I can't move. I'm like, wow, this is an attack, you know. Then, of course, they give you the information sometime later of the Pentagon. And then they give you some information about Shanksville, Pennsylvania, you know. And, of course, later that evening, hours later, Building Number 7 goes down. And so, to me, I felt something not right with this situation early on. And for those who had the ability and the wherewithal who felt there wasn't something right, they put it to video and they put it on YouTube. They put it on YouTube in plain sight. In plain sight, I think, was the first one to come out. And I'm, you know, let me just say this. Yeah, you damn right. I'm into conspiracy theories because this is a damn conspiracy. All the things that happen with these crackers and doing what they're doing. There's been much proof of of false flag operations, going into wars, getting people into wars. So no, there is no righteousness amongst these people. These people are liars. Yeah, there's a lot that you can, when you go online, there's so much that you can look at. And so about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little longer, Richard Gage, Architects for 9/11 Truth. And you also had, like I said, Ed Asner on talking about architects and engineers, you know. And but I think you just got to look at the Pentagon in Building 7. So I should say, I'll give you that those two things happened, commandeered those planes, ran them into the World Trade Center, and even though as a firefighter, and there was a brother from New York who is on YouTube early on, and I used a lot of his stuff at the time, you know, but he's not on anymore. They've taken a lot of the stuff off. You know, but if you go to 9/11 Truth, you can, you know, still find some stuff, and you might even find Richard Gage, you know, talking about some of the things that have happened and going from a few hundred architects and engineers to, I think, about almost 2,000. So many people start to look at this thing. I don't know about that, you know. And so I'll give you those two twin towers, okay? I'll give you Shanksville, where some cats was in the airplane. The Saudis had bum-rushed the cockpit and commandeered the plane. They were on, this is 2001 family. Family is 2001, okay? Now, I know there were some phones on the planes back then, but I'm quite sure even today you can't use your cell phone from 30,000 feet, okay? But supposedly they had called their wives and so forth, and then they got together and the tagline was, let's roll. Let's roll. In fact, some few football programs that, in honor of that, they all, the tagline, let's roll, you know. So they bum-rushed a cockpit, gave those cats a beat down, and crashed that plane into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. It hit with such ferocity and speed, and it went into the earth. So when you see Shanksville, you don't see the plane because it barreled into the earth. Okay? But then there's the Pentagon. You have to preface the Pentagon with what happened there a few days before. Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, held a press conference about trillions of dollars that are missing at the Pentagon. And it's ironic, family, that the plane missile that hit the Pentagon is in that exact area. What's the consequences of that happening, huh? That exact area where the press conference was held, because that's where the documentation and the money allocation was kept. If you go to YouTube and you put in the Pentagon, 9/11, the Pentagon, you will not see. Now, rescue me if I'm wrong. I would assume and surmise that the Pentagon is highly videoed. There's security all around the Pentagon, all around five sides, a five-sided building, all around it. But the only thing that you see, family, you don't see the plane approaching. You don't see the plane approaching from head on, which I'm quite sure you could have gotten because you got all these cameras. You don't see the plane approaching from the side or anything. The only thing you see, family, is a fireball light. And then all the smoke and so forth. And then when it kind of clears, you see a round hole in that side of the building. Cut so clean that there's monitors and tables and so forth, still just like it was when the office was happening. The parapet wall finally came down, you know, and it's still smoldering. You see some plane stuff out on, but you don't see wings imprinting the building. Because what they want you to believe, that the plane was flying so fast and so low that the nose of the plane, when it touched the Pentagon, the plane disintegrated. You don't see no wings. You don't see no tail. You don't see no engines. You don't even have the goddamn black box, which of course is not black. None of that. Because why? I believe it was not a plane. It was a missile. It was a missile that penetrated two of the, I think there's five walls in the Pentagon. Pentagon's a huge monstrosity. And bam. Now, you know, you can never make me believe otherwise. So, and if there's such substantiating truth otherwise, then you pull this out your ass. Because the way it has looked, the way it was presented to the public, the way things, no way. No way. And then, of course, Building 7. What they want you to believe, that when, it, once again, I said I was a firefighter, right? Yes. And as a firefighter, in your training, particularly as you're coming on as a firefighter, they want you to learn all of these different types of tactics and things that are done. So we did high-rise firefighting. We watched a few films. We were told about buildings that planes hit. Never before or since 9/11 has a plane hit a building and that building imploded and collapsed. Never. Never. There were some building fires hit by planes. Not by a regular plane, because that wouldn't cause, but by jets. That has happened. Still, those buildings did not come down. They did not come down. And so, the World Trade Center, the second building that was hit, was the first one to come. You would think the first building hit, because it was burning longer, would be the first one to come down. That could be a little bit of logic, couldn't it? But no, it was the second building that was hit, was the first one to implode. And the brother I was saying to you, he wasn't, I don't think he was a member of the Vulcans, New York. I don't know or not. He seemed like a guy who loved firefighting and love the white guys and like to be in the firehouse. You know, I shouldn't be, you know, judgmental in that way. But he was thorough in his assessments. He was retired and so forth and did the work. And so I applaud the man. And I wish I could, I wish his pieces on video were still there. But yeah, those buildings came down. And many firefighters talked about hearing explosives popping off as the building continued to implode and pancake. Man. Building number 7. You have to go online, family. Please go to YouTube, put in 9/11 building number 7 and see for yourself, because this is what is said by NISA. That's the United States' organization that put out the 9/11 commission book and all that bullshit. And so what it said was, when the buildings imploded, fire debris jumped about a block or so, which is true, possibly, you know, and fell on that building, broke some windows, and caused the fire. Caused the fire. And it burned to the degree that it weakened the building. And the building went down like every demolition that you have seen, if you've seen them live or if you've seen them on TV or whatever, they went down in what? Their own footprint. They came through the middle and it came down like that. You're saying, how? At least you should be saying, how can that be so? How can that building go down like that with all these fires? You're saying to me that the fires weakened the building such that it looked like it was imploded, that it looked like it was hit by dynamite, looked like it was, you know. Larry Silverstein, if memory serves me correct, was asked about the building. He said, pull it, which is not something that we as firefighters do. That's not us, you know? And it went down like a regular demolition. So family, yes, 9/11 is an inside job. I don't give a damn what this government says. 9/11 This kind, you know, once again, you're thinking that no, this country wouldn't do such a thing. It would not kill its citizens to gain a point. What would the point? To suspend the freedoms. To at any time the government can suspend anything. Or some other nefarious reason. Man. So, if you want to, you can believe that. You know? If you want to, you can believe that. But for me, no way. No way. Yeah. Here's another little 4-minute piece before we go to our break. I'm going to play for you.
conspiracy theories. There are lots of them. They can go on. We can speculate on that forever. What we really need to know is how those buildings came down.
World Trade Center 7 collapsed because of fires fueled by office furnishings. It did not collapse from explosives or from fuel oil fires.
To undermine scientific integrity is to undermine our democracy.
This is what NIST has done, denied and ignored crucial evidence.
The American people absolutely need the truth of 9/11.
More than 1,500 architects and engineers and 12,000 others, including many scientists, have signed the petition calling for a scientific investigation of the destruction of the Twin Towers and World Trade Center Building 7. The report, issued by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, referred to as NIST, was not valid science.
They're talking about a single columnar collapse or failure that resulted in a total collapse of the building.
Building number 7 descended in free fall for the first 100 feet, which means that there was absolutely no resistance to the descent whatsoever.
So all of the columns really needed to be severed at the same time.
The symmetry is the smoking gun.
NIST has admitted it went into free fall for 8 stories.
You don't need to be an engineer or an architect to see what happened to those buildings.
This is controlled demolition.
Segregated.
What I saw, it was a classic implosion. The center of the core, the penthouse area, starts to move first, and then the building follows along with it.
NIST excluded the document from FEMA in Appendix C that documented the evidence of melting steel.
In an office fire, you cannot generate enough heat to melt steel.
There were these iron microspheres present in all of the dust samples. They needed to have been formed in extremely high temperatures.
All the characteristics of the microspheres, along with what I see in the attack of the beams that were actually found, tell me that thermite was involved in melting those steel beams.
In the dust, what we have found is a modern version of thermite, which we call nanothermite.
NIST concedes that they found no evidence for explosives. So then we asked them, well, did you look? And they said, no, we did not look for explosives or residues of explosives.
And in fact, the evidence is overwhelming that these red grade crystals are very high temperature incendiaries.
And we have watched as scientific integrity has been undermined and scientific research politicized in an effort to advance predetermined ideological agendas.
If this is a crime, I think everybody agrees it's a crime. Evidence was removed from the scene of the crime. You can't do science when you are deprived of the evidence and when your hypothesis is the least valid instead of the most likely. When the most likely hypothesis in the case of Building 7 wasn't even mentioned. This is not science.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I tell you, family, this gets deeper and deeper. Let us go to a break, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com. And you know blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, and I'm going to play for you, that's right, some Frankie Beverly and Maze. I chose 2 songs. I guess for me, I chose, the first one. Hey, come on, now act right. Running Away. I love Running Away, especially for the concert, man. The first song he did at 2 concerts I went to, one was in Cincinnati at the festival. You know, because that song gets you jumping. And then the next song, We Are One. We Are One. Because it speaks to the fact that we as African people are one. We are one, family. Brothers and sisters, Frankie Beverly and Maze.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Tribute to Frankie Beverly and Mays. Man. You know, I'm telling you how cold they are. They ain't made no new music in 20 years. But they were the headline. They were the headline at Essence. They were the headline in many other concerts that they put on around the country. He was timeless. The music was timeless. The first time many of us heard Frankie Beverly and Mays was the 70s. It was the 70s. And he stood the test of time. Yeah. My friend Muhammad Abdullah, you know, because he had a beard, and Frankie was sporting a big beard at the time, you know, with the cap on. And so we was at the Cool Jazz Festival, you know, in Milwaukee. And people thought he was Frankie. Yeah. Yeah, and of course, you wore your white. Me and my friend, we wore our white in Chicago. She looked good. And, you know, you knew it was his farewell tour, but you didn't think it was going to be that deep. You know? Yeah. Frankie Beverly and Mays. I read a little bio taken from Wikipedia. Happened yesterday. He died. And in fact, when I hear somebody had passed, I always go to Wikipedia right quick. Because if they passed moments ago, Wikipedia just be updating like you wouldn't believe. I'm like, wow. Frankie Beverly and Mays. Long live Mays. And long live Frankie Beverly. We're talking about today is 9/11. You know, that auspicious day when America was under attack. And that gave rise and justification. You know, as George Bush, that asshole, said, you know, although neither country, because it was an inside job, neither country, Iraq or Iran, was responsible for none of it. But they were attacked by the United States in retaliation of an inside job. Saddam Hussein was embarrassingly murdered. Found him in a hole, dug him up. Yeah. I remember, I don't know if you can remember when George Bush was at a press conference somewhere, and this, I don't know if it was a reporter or somebody in the audience, took off his shoe and threw it at him. You remember that? Because it was bull. And George Bush was probably the perfect president for some stuff like that to go down. Because he was a doofus. But really, they all are, because they all were tagged the line. You don't become the president of the United States being a radical. You know? Whatever it is, just like when Kamala becomes president. You know? Whatever it is they want her to do, she will do. And love to see what happens to her after the 4 years. Will she try to run again? I don't know. But she's going to win. There should be no way in hell that, for those who saw the debate last night, I don't give a damn who won the debate, win or lose, you know, but it's how foolish Trump is. And of course, because he can't, that's why there probably won't be another debate. He can't stay on message, and they know it. So don't have another debate, you know. Because she's gonna bait him. She see how easy it was. She's a prosecutor, and he's a felon. You know? Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Have some conversation about 9/11. Not a lot of callers. Have some conversation about 9/11. About the inside job that it is. What is your perspective? And if you don't believe it is an inside job, I understand that too. You know? I believe that, you know? If you don't believe it's an inside job. If you don't believe that the United States did this. The United States pulled this off. And there's other incidents where the United States has done some shady things, you know? I've been going around with that line, the ends justifies the means. But you could argue there was nothing to justify the means of the killing of thousands of people, 343 firefighters, of which 12 were American African, you know. And that just lets you know how discriminatory and racist the New York City Fire Department is and still is in the fight to integrate that fire department. I mean, it's made some progress, you know, to some degree. No doubt. I know people in New York. I know the Vulcan Society of New York, you know. Documentary All Our Sons, narrated by Valerie Woodard, not Valerie Woodard. What's the sister's name? Woodard. It'll come to me. Sucks. She does a narration of it and talks about the families are talking about the young men who died in 9/11. Yeah. So, yeah, 9/11, inside job. And I've always said, I felt that way since months after it happened. Obviously, I didn't feel that way at the exact moments. I didn't know what was happening. Only thing you knew is that the World Trade Center buildings went down. You saw them. You saw them on TV going down. Didn't learn about Building 7 till sometime later, you know, way later. You know, yes, knew what happened at the Pentagon, didn't see it. But when you saw it, you have to question. You said a plane hit this? A passenger plane hit this? Where's the imprints of the wings? At the site itself, where's all the, you know, stuff from a plane? I mean, yeah, they had a piece of a plane, and they showed that. I remember them. So apparently they wanted to make sure you seen something so your mindset wouldn't be about this is not what it appears to be. This is what we say it is, you know. Man. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. Your time to talk about the situation. And like I said, I have done this program since I started this radio program 10 years ago when I first started on a piece on, what was that, Google Hangouts or something like that. Very, very tough because it was not real stable. Then I went to Blog Talk. My dear friend, Queenie Fama. I love Queenie Fama. She's an ancestor now, but She's the one that turned me on to. And I was on there on Blog Talk for a few, but it, Blog Talk, I couldn't control the background sound. You know, here with what I'm on now, and I have this mixer, I have a microphone that commute, I have what I need, you know, to do, I guess, what could be considered an effective radio program, you know. And it's good for me. I appreciate it. I appreciate Brother Elliot. You know, definitely appreciate Brother Ralph. Always have, always will. Appreciate Brother Ralph. Because Ralph was listening to me, and I had a group of brothers, you know, and a few sisters back then, you know. But the person who's always been with me, and that's Brother Kwaku. And I appreciate his expertise as a computer person, and, you know, it's helped me tremendously. You know. So we went to Time for an Awakening and got this equipment and got others the equipment. Unfortunately, Us Lifting Us didn't, you know. They're the only ones that went back to Blog Talk. Dr. Rogers, before he passed, you know. Dr. Janine and that program, that's one that Dr. Rogers helped develop. Yeah. So there was a lot of programming on when we first came on. A lot of programming. Yeah. So basically, I think Conversation Reparations is back on. Brother Jamoke, I got to find that out from Brother Elliot, so I can promote him, you know. I don't know if anybody promotes. Well, Brother Elliot does, of course. He'll make mention of this program on Friday and Sunday. Sister Habiya, how are you, dear? Haven't heard from you in a long time. How have you been?
Oh, I'm blessed. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Yes, we're enjoying the program, and just wanted to just send out Ashe to Frankie Beverly and
Ashe. Oh, yes.
He is so legendary.
Yes, he is.
He was a living legend. Now he's gone on to the ancestors.
Yes.
And yeah, he was so powerful. And mm-hmm. I just want to say I agreed with you about the favorite. My favorite song was We Are One. Isn't that powerful?
Well, we played it. We played it for you. That's your favorite song, We Are One. We played it for you. But Running Away is not my favorite, but Running Away, I heard that. I don't know how many Frankie Beverly concerts I've been to. And like I said, we had Frankie at our African World Festival in Milwaukee the one year when I was the president. I think it cost us 70-something thousand, you know. Yeah. Yeah, Frankie don't come cheap.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to. Yeah, he's so. I've been to so many of his concerts, I can't count them all. I'd always come when he'd be in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I'd see him at the Essence Festival.
Yes.
But my second favorite was Joy and Pain.
Yeah. Okay. Like Sunshine and Rain.
It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a truth, you know, for our people. So.
Well, We Are One, I looked at. The reason I played that, because we are one. We're one Africa.
We are one, yes.
We are one. You know,
we are one.
Putting that in our minds, we are one. Brothers and sisters working together has one to reclaim and
Pan-Africanism will perish.
Exactly. Unify or die.
I say.
True African, true African sovereignty is it.
I say.
Oh, did you get the African World newspaper online?
Oh,
You got it?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I saw Mama Marimba like last week, too.
Okay, good.
Play. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes,
good.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Good thing.
Oh, man, it is. I mean, it 70 pages. 70 pages of good information and good contributions from brothers and sisters in our movement. That's just fantastic, isn't it?
Yes, Yeah, so powerful. And she is just so iconic, such a legendary, wonderful freedom fighter.
Yes.
I just have nothing but praises for her work.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I have such
praises. We're so blessed to have her with us. What a great, legendary freedom fighter.
Yes.
So, give thanks.
Yeah.
The other thing, you had mentioned about Kamala Harris in the debate. it was really interesting. She did come off and she blew that Trump away and just showed how ignorant he is, like you said, and just ignorant, racist, misogynistic. And just outright crazy. I mean, talking about even casting out. He was such an abomination. It shows how dangerous and stupid he is.
That's why I believe he's going to lose. She's going to win this election.
I pray he loses.
Yeah, she's going to win this election. And for me, who could give less than a rat's ass either way, if he does win, just like in 2016, I jokingly said, "Oh, he's going to win." I didn't give a damn. I definitely didn't care for Hillary Clinton. I thought she was a flawed candidate.
Me either. She was just horrible.
Yeah, a flawed candidate out the jump. I hate the Clintons, you know, what they did to Haiti, the money, all that money stole from Haiti. I hate the Clintons, you know, the crime bill and all that kind of stuff. Hate the Clintons. But anyway, he came in and taking credit for a lot of the things that Barack Obama's administration had done. And therefore, that's why he kept saying all that stuff that he did it, the greatest. You know, he's always got to be better. That's his mentality. That's his childish, attitude. I got to be better.
Narcissistic.
Very narcissistic. Very narcissistic. He's a narcissist, no doubt. And so I don't think, and you see, what you don't see is anybody that worked with him previously is working with him now.
I know, like his vice president.
Yeah, all of them.
The generals of the
war. All of them. All of them. They would not support him. They wouldn't endorse him. All of them. No. Because they know. In fact, when Cheney, his evil ass, he was in that Bush administration.
I know, he supported him too.
Yeah. And he's going to vote for Kamala. And both for Kamala Harris.
You know, people just say, how could so many people be, for him? And why is the race so close? And I can surmise that there's a lot of people that are like him. They're just as corrupt as he is.
Yeah. Oh, well, the you number know? One.
I mean, Sister
Habib, we live in America. This is a country for and by white people, Caucasians, crackers, Europeans, whatever. And so Donald Trump speaks to that. He speaks to that.
Yes.
He speaks to them, and they love it. You know, when you, I don't know if you ever get a chance that you go to YouTube. I'm always talking about YouTube. Go to YouTube and check out, Donald Trump. There's a plethora.
Yeah,
there's
that.
So
I
much
never
stuff.
Checked him out.
Oh, girl, it's and all his mega folks. I mean, these are some ignorant ass people. They have some of them have no clue, but they like Donald Trump. They talk about some hold him in such reverence that he's like to them like a god.
Right.
You know.
I mean, that's their god.
Right,
you know.
but his base is not enough. I bet you any money he will not get 70 million votes is what he got last time. And that is true. He got that many votes. You know?
Yeah, that's a lie.
But Joe Biden got damn near 8 million more votes.
Yeah, I think they said he won by 8 million, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than him. You know?
Yeah, that's what Kamala said. 8 million fired you.
You know?
And,
It was
real interesting. And so Kamala, I think she better than him as far as I'm concerned. And so people try to hold her as accountable as they can.
Well, the bottom line is what she was saying.
Not give her the pass like
right.
she did
right.
Obama.
Right.
What
she, no, she's going to be a same, the same thing as Barack. You know?
Yeah, that'll be disappointing.
But of course it is.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a strong African mindset leader in the White
like
House.
Like Cynthia McKinney. Yeah.
Right. Well, you see what happened to her. You see what happened to all the people who are like that. They find ways to get rid of them or even neutralize them or even
kill them.
Or kill them. You know,
it's a real corrupt system, man.
Yes, yes, it is.
And so
her being the president, that's not going to translate to some great things happening for us. You know, she said it herself. I ain't going to do nothing for black people. I ain't going to promote.
I didn't hear her say that. She said that?
She said, I ain't going to do nothing. I ain't going to promote reparations. I ain't going to do nothing. But she said that. That's when she was running. That's when she was trying to run for president the last time. Okay, 2000. She hasn't said, anything prior to that. So, all right, sister. Listen, you have a blessed day.
Well, yeah, it was good talking to you. Thanks for your synopsis and review and analysis. Great for about 9/11.
All right,
another American atrocity.
That's right. Okay. Peace, my sister.
Okay. Give thanks and appreciate the show.
Bibi Fahodie.
Bibi Fahodie.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Baba Olchi. How are you today?
I'm doing well, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Just giving thanks for life always, Baba Olchi.
Yes,
and I just like this, glad to hear the voice of our beloved sister. It's wonderful.
Yes.
And all the sisters who contribute to this platform.
I agree. Sister Ibeas, Sister Mama Nabantu, so many others. Yeah.
It's necessary, man, because we can't just fill the room with testosterone all the time, you know?
You're right, brother. You're right. Yeah. We got to have that feminine energy. In fact, it should always be seminal, you know, symbiotic.
Balance it out a bit, you know what I mean?
That's right. So what is
Baba Olchi.
What was your take on 9/11 back then?
Okay, yeah, good question, Baba Olchi. Very profound question. Well, I remember where I was exactly at the time. I was in my business and I had a TV behind me, and that TV, I had some issues that week, because if you have a TV in your place of business, you have to have a television license. And my argument was that I only used the TV because I used to, in that business, I used to sell like video games and video software. So I used to use the TV to demonstrate the video games and the video software. Yeah. It wasn't tuned in. So that week, the television license people, I had a bit of a little row with them.
Explain that. Wait. Explain that to me. Why was it necessary to have a license, to have a TV in your business? That doesn't sound correct.
Well, that's a good question. You see, what it is, right, the BBC is the BBC, right, the first channel to broadcast was the BBC, and the BBC is a government channel, and so and it's free. They don't advertise on the BBC, so it's subscription by the. They take you pay
I
a
see,
license
I
fee.
See.
That's you pay a license fee, but my tuned in right, and why should I be paying the license fee? You know what I mean? And but what they do, they send you a letter, and then they just turn up. Like with this kind of warrant thing, and then they summons you to court, and then they end up paying a crazy fine. But my argument was, look, this thing ain't tuned in, and I'm not watching the BBC or any of those channels. You know what I mean? I only use it for. So anyway, someone phoned me up, and they said, "Oh, turn on the TV." And I was explaining to them just exactly what I explained to you, that it's not tuned in. But they said, "Look, you need to turn on the TV." So I had to go and run a wire quickly from the aerial to the TV, you know what I mean? Because so I'm thinking, because I'm in the shop serving people and doing all kind of nonsense, trying to keep the business alive. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? You know what I mean? But anyway, when I plugged it in, the first thing I actually saw was the plane going into the building, and I was confused, man. I was confused because I thought, is this some sort of comedy? And why has my friend actually told me so seriously to turn the TV on? And I'm watching this thing. I'm thinking, is this real?
Yeah.
It didn't seem at first. It wasn't. It didn't. I couldn't contemplate. It just didn't make sense. I'm thinking, what is going on here?
Yeah.
You know,
especially
what I mean?
When you've seen the second plane, because you know everybody. It's on every channel. You know, you see the one tower smoldering and so forth. And I didn't hear exactly what happened to the one tower. I was thinking, because I was getting out of the shower. I was on my way to jury duty that day, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching, drying off. And then when I seen the second plane hit, I was catatonic. Man, I was frozen. I was catatonic, man. I was like, wow, this is an attack. So I had to go downtown to the main fire station, to the office part, third floor, to get some information for jury duty so I could get paid. Well, if I'm off, you know. Well, when I go, I get it. So I'm there waiting, you know. And while I'm waiting at downtown at the third floor, the second tower that was hit was the first one to go down. And when that went down, there were screams and cries and hollers because we knew firefighters were going to die. Firefighters were going to die. Then moments later, the second one goes down. And then when I went to jury duty, they had closed all federal buildings in the country. Nothing was going to happen, nothing. I went home, me and this Muslim brother. But the case was this Caucasian dude who didn't want to pay child support. And me and the brother got together and said, we're going to fry his ass. He don't want to pay child support.
They have a jury for that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that criminal offense?
Well, yeah. So apparently he had it and he denied that he didn't want to pay it. So apparently he had it. Some businessman or some stuff like that. But yeah. So, you know, and so a few weeks afterwards, and then maybe about a month or so afterwards, In Plain Sight came out questioning all the things that had transpired, you know, that day. And then about less than a year, this man named Richard Gage, Architects for 9/11 Truth, I started looking at him and listening to him. And Ed Asner, former actor, was narrating some of their stuff. And they were explaining how this stuff has never happened before and that it couldn't happen the way the government says it's happened. We're architects. We're engineers, you know. And so when you look at, I think, I pointed out today, Brother Paul, two egregious things. One was the Pentagon. One was the Pentagon, because no way in hell that the Pentagon, that building is, you know, it's, I bet you there's a camera everywhere, you know, all five sides of that building, inside of that building, in the middle of that building, there's a big grassy area, all of that could be, but yet, the only thing, if you go to YouTube and you look up the Pentagon, 9/11 Pentagon, the only thing you see is a bright light hitting the side of the Pentagon. You can't tell if it's a plane. I tried my best to stop it, and it looked like a cylinder thing. It was hit not by a plane, not by a passenger plane. It was because what they want you to believe, Brother Paul, is that there was a plane flying so fast and so low that when the nose of the plane touched the Pentagon, the plane disintegrated. That's why all you see is a round hole. You don't see wings, imprints of any wings. You don't see the engine tail. You don't see the damn black box, the fuselage. No, you don't see none of that, bro. You see a big ass hole. And as I explained earlier, I don't know if you know this, but for those who just joined, Donald Rumsfeld had a press conference a day or two before that, before 9/11, explaining some money missing, trillions of dollars missing from the military budget. And it is in that area. It is in that area where that missile hit. Were those documents taken?
Absolutely. You're pricking my memory now, yeah? You know what? One of the most beautiful things I watched just after that period, and I don't know the names of the people who were involved, but I think it was a husband and wife, American, and they done a trial. It's like they done a trial, a mock trial. Mm-hmm. And what they called is different people to represent different professions.
Okay.
They were experts in their field. Like you had expert for firemen, professional firemen. Then you had a professional architect. Then you had electricians. Then you had people who, deal in steel and all that. And they run a trial, and it was on the internet. And I tell you, it blew my mind. And I always think, right, because it's only when they were speaking, these people, like they were going through the script and just like a court. And I watched it and I said, wow. It's after I watched that, I knew it had been set up because it was just so beautiful. And I always thought, right, if you want to get to the bottom of anything, yeah, do that. You know, yeah. I mean, have a trial. You call professional people. They don't have to be actually involved, but they just talk from their expertise.
Right.
Yeah. And I tell you something, anybody covering up anything, any red flag, you're going to blow it apart. Because when the guy even gave the melting point of steel, like you had an expert on there, he gave you. And the thing is, you can check it. You can just go on the internet and check if he's saying it's true. Like he just give you the melting point of steel. You go on the internet and check it. And once you find it, then you know that they're lying. Because, you know, jet fuel is like paraffin, isn't it? It's like they refine it to the, like it's paraffin. Just I think it's just above petrol, yeah?
Right.
And if you like petrol, it doesn't actually burn. It's the gas which ignites it. You understand? Mm-hmm. You can't use that to melt steel.
No.
To melt steel, you have to add a component such as carbon, like coal
thermite,
or something which... it can grab that heat. You understand? There's nothing in that building. It's mainly made of glass, right? What is igniting the steel for it to melt? Baba Ochi, you see, it's what I'm saying. You just have them two facts, and then you know that somebody's lying straight. Yeah? Somebody's lying, okay?
Yep.
And because it don't make sense. Yeah? Now, what I'm saying to you, my bigger problem is this. You know what they do is very, pretty powerful. You have to give it to them, yeah? Because even if you present those facts to the ordinary Joe in the street, yeah, they'll still look at you like you're talking out the third chapter of your imagination.
Right.
You're just presenting them. This is what I'm talking about, facts. You just have to say to them, go and check the melting point of steel. Not only that, the steel in that building, I understand, they got from Japan. That came out. We got it from Japan is because Japan is known to have earthquakes, suffer from earthquakes in the world for building buildings to sustain an earthquake. Okay? They have mastered the technique of building buildings and using steel, the quality of steel, so it can flex and bend and et cetera, the breaking point and all that sort of stuff. This all came out in that trial, and I'm watching it thinking, wow. So, you know, Baba Ochi, the message came out of it for that, right? If they can do that, right, and hoodwink people so much, right, even though you could just go online and check it just shows me, Baba Ochi, we're in trouble. And I'm just saying, it's the same thing they did there, they've done with the vaccines, the same thing. And the painful thing is that people have taken this thing. I know people don't want to admit it, but many people who claim to have good consciousness, many people who claim to be intelligent, many people who claim to know what's going on, took that thing. And these people were absolutely 1,000,000% lying. And they the same thing they've done with 9/11 is what they did with the vaccines. And it boggles my mind. Yeah. It boggles my mind how people can be so easily hoodwinked with so much information that they're why, in my bottom of my heart, I know we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Big trouble. Big, big time trouble. And no one can tell me that we're not. And that's why I talk about the dum-dum zone. Majority of us are in the dum-dum zone. It doesn't matter how many degrees you got. I watched something on the internet where a doctor who was a consultant, right? The doctor, his father was a consultant, which is the higher end of the doctor. I don't know if you call them consultants there. It's like the senior doctor, right? Senior in hospital. His father took it and he died, right? And the doctor's online saying that he took it, and it's only after he took it he woke up and realized, right? And I'm watching and listening to this man. I'm thinking to myself, wow, your father's a consultant. You're supposed to have good intelligence here. Your father took it and died, and it's only after you took it you realized, man. I'm saying, wow. So it doesn't matter how many qualifications you got or how many degrees you got, what university you've been. A lot of us are stuck in the dum-dum zone because they have placed us in it. They have hoodwinked us and bamboo.
Yeah. Well, listen, Brother Paul, I got some other callers. I'm going to try to get on. So I got Brother Irv. Just hold on, Brother Paul. Brother Irv.
Baba Oji, can you hear me?
I can hear you well, my brother.
Right. Thank you for taking my call, Baba Oji. Mm-hmm. I was agreeing with Brother Paul. And, of course, I want to get in. But if I didn't get in, I was okay with listening to Paul's analysis on 9/11. And he's right on point when he blends that in with the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I agree with him 100%. Mm-hmm. Baba Oji, Brother Frankie Beverly, from what I read, he was discovered by Marvin Gaye.
Yes.
Marvin Gaye. But he never went as far as a Michael Jackson or maybe the OJs or something like that in the money part. He was worth $4 million when he died. But but so far, as a Bob Dylan type of folk hero with American Africans, he was the pinnacle. There was nothing he couldn't do.
Yeah.
For some reason, Bob, it hit me kind of hard because when people die like that, you want them to get you ready. Look, I got a sickness. I got cancer. Something's going on with me. I'm terminal. People don't tell you their medical history, and then they pass away, and you wonder, were they sick? Or or is it just old? Old doesn't kill a person. Something kills them. So it kind of hit me kind of hard. Baba Oji, we all know 9/11 was a hoax, and I'm not even going to dwell on that. There's so much information out there to show you that. Mm. Baba Oji, I wanted to say really quickly about the debate. I didn't listen to what they said in the debate. I listened to what they didn't say. You know, she never said out of her mouth, and I heard her say, and you can look it up online, I'm not going to do anything only for black people. That's what she said. I'm not going to do that. And I heard that from politicians in Maryland when I was in the political realm taking photographs. But you never heard them say anything about the prison complex. Did you? Did they say anything about all the brothers who were locked up?
No.
Over-incarceration of American Africans? You never heard them say anything about that?
No.
Never said anything about reparations?
No.
Never
no.
said anything about we feel bad for the people in Palestine, but they never said they're going to cut the weapons that they're using to kill the people, because the people aren't dying because they're just dying. They're dying because the United States is sending weaponry to Israel. They're sending them the guns to shoot, to kill the people. So we never had that conversation. All that other stuff, Baba Oji, was fluff for people who are already made their minds up. Trump, we all know that Trump is a realtor. You don't go get a realtor to do heart surgery. You don't get a heart surgeon to play football, unless you can. But my point I'm making is, this guy is not a politician. This guy is in a job that he was not prepared for, and we need a businessman to run this country. He's a failed businessman. It was word masturbation, as far as I was concerned. They were just getting off on each other. She bringing up things. You said something about the thing you put in the paper about the kids, and she's bringing up. And I'm fine. I had no problem with that. And then Trump was talking about dogs. I basically damn near turned cats. I damn near turned the damn thing off because it was a joke. These people who already made their minds up. There's no one on the fence with Donald Trump.
Right.
Donald Trump can't. Right. People can't separate policy from personality.
No,
Donald Trump
no
has
wrong.
No personality, and her personality is so polished. Till if I close my eyes, I would think there was a white woman standing there talking.
Sure.
Yeah, because she's such status quo.
Yeah.
Not to take anything from, and she's going to be president, and that's just like Obama. That did not impact my life.
Exactly.
It's not. It's
not going to impact the life of African people, whether here in this country or globally. No.
That is correct. And what we have to keep our minds on is these Israelis who are buying land in South Africa. That's what needs to be put on television.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Africa. Let's talk about Burkina Faso,
yeah.
Chad. Let's talk about my homeland. But you're not going to talk about that because you're sitting here with your hair pressed, wearing your Rugu's clothing. And you know, like I know, and I'll say it every time I get a chance. You are engaged in an alliance and in league
with the oppressor.
With the oppressor.
In a shame-based alliance.
Because he's ashamed to talk about it, and you're ashamed to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because both of you know you're lying.
Yeah.
You know that these people have enslaved, have tried to make our people into slaves. We were kidnapped and brought here. We're the only, if you want to be an American, foundational blacks, this is your land, okay, then you are the true Americans because you don't have any history. They took your history. They took your language. They took your God, and they made you into something called a so-called Negro. You are the best Negro you can be because a Negro serves his master.
Yeah. That's right.
So I'm not a Negro.
I'm an African. Let me catch another call, brother. Peace.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, OT? How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Jay.
Hey, listen, two things. I didn't hear your 9/11 take, but I'm under the auspice that it's no different than the past years, so I know it's all good. Number two, in regards to what Irv just said, what do anybody expect for them to talk about black people and their concerns at all when, number one, Trump don't have no use for them, and number two, it seems like everything she do, the sycophants are in agreement with her. Now, as far as the debate go, look, it was what it was. I think she had opportunities to really crush him, and she blew it. I thought she blew it on Project 2025. She only spoke about it, I think, one time, which was shameful because I thought it would be something that could really expose him for what everybody know is the liar that he is. And the second thing was she did not force him to answer the question in regards to him having the Congress members not sign the bill in regards to immigration and the borders. So I think she missed a couple of opportunities. Did she handle herself better than expected? No, because if you understand who and what she is, she did her job. Was Pinocchio Trump who he is? Yes. Did you see the decline in his mental cognizance? No question. The reality is, it's a dog and pony show, and it boils down to this very important point. Is white folks going to put him back in office? The reality is, he gets back in office if white people put him back in office. Because the bottom line is, if you're a black person and you have any common sense whatsoever, and you watched him and you watched her, and you think that he's going to do a better job than her under the construction of the empire, then you're basically a fool. You have no common sense, no understanding of geopolitics or any type of politics to think that he will be more beneficial to you than she would be. That's just the reality. If you don't understand and you don't see that, then something is fundamentally wrong with your intelligence as far as I'm concerned. Because when they asked him about what is his policy and his plan in regards for moving the country forward, the fool couldn't answer it. I mean, when you ask him about changing and improving on Obamacare, the fool couldn't answer it. So if you think that that display is presidential by that character, then I can't do nothing but feel sorry for you if you're a person of color. But the reality is, as far as I'm concerned, it boils down to what white women gonna do. If you wanna
I think this time there are gonna be a lot of Caucasian women who are going to vote for her. They didn't vote for Hillary. And there's going to be many Caucasian women that are going to side with their man and vote with Trump. There's no doubt about that. Let's be real. She's.
But you know why I disagree with you, O?
Okay.
Because of this simple fact. A white woman never puts a black woman ahead of themselves or other white women. That's why I think that their psyche could not handle a black woman being the president
for a white woman
this country over a white woman. I don't think their psyche could handle that. And on top of this, you got to understand something, man. This is their last salvo, I sense, in controlling whiteness in this country and protecting it. Because understand this very clearly. If Trump gets back in the office, he's going to do everything in his power
and I think that,
to solidify whiteness.
And that's a scare. And that's
Harry getting in office, it's a wrap.
And that's a scare.
It's not
even
gonna happen, though.
Jay, that's a scare even for Caucasians. You see, I'm up against the clock. Jay, I appreciate you, man.
All right, brother.
All right.
Have a good one.
You have a good day. Let me do this right quick, my brothers and sisters, before I end the program, as I always end the program. I'm going to do this. Yeah, Frankie Beverly, in honor of Frankie Beverly. You know? So we're going to do this. Yeah. It's a happy feeling in the air. It's a Sunday in the park. It's a cookout. It's homecoming. It's a family reunion. It's white linen pants and white cotton shirts and dresses. It's a summer sway, stepper smooth, electric slide. It's joy and pain. It's the culture. It's the original vibe. It's one more slow dance with the sun on your face at the golden time of day. Before you let go, a melodramatic reminder that no matter what we do, love will see us through. We are one. Rest in harmony, our silky, silky soul singer. We won't ever let you go. We won't ever get over you. We won't ever get over you. Sincerely, a Southern girl from below the Mason-Dixon line. Ashe, my sister. Ashe. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante sana means thank you. A BB for 48 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. See you on Friday. Peace.